Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
What we are asking you now is please, please stay inside. Stay inside until we can get out there with our teams. They are all in action right now. We can get out there, assess the damage, and make sure that it's safe for you to go back out into your community or to re-enter your neighborhood.
Residents in Florida are being urged to stay inside after Hurricane Milton swept across the state, triggering deadly tornadoes, flooding, and record rainfall. In St. Petersburg, the roof was ripped off Tropicana Field, the home of the Tampa Bay Rays baseball team. The storm came just 2 weeks after Hurricane Helene hit Florida and other southeastern states, killing over 230 people. We'll go to St. Petersburg, Florida, which experienced a one-in-a-thousand-year rainstorm, and also look at how the back-to-back storms have impacted prisoners and farm workers in Florida. Plus, we'll look at how the climate crisis is fueling stronger and deadlier storms.
Back-to-back disasters used to be unthinkable, and they're becoming ever more frequent. And with Helene and Milton hitting Florida twice in 2 weeks, it's just a reminder that for all of the happy talk about renewables and all the political debate about the green transition, the big story really is climate change. It's accelerating, and its impacts are going to be getting much worse.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Gaza, an Israeli air attack on a school-turned-shelter in central Deir al-Balah killed at least 28 people. Reporters describe chaotic scenes at Al-Aqsa Hospital where victims, most of them women and children, are being treated. Meanwhile, Israel's escalating its bloody siege on northern Gaza. Doctors at three hospitals are struggling to care for patients after Israel ordered their evacuation. Al Jazeera reports Israeli ground troops have surrounded Khan al-Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia and are threatening staff and patients. Israel also ordered the evacuation of Al-Auda and Indonesian hospitals. The group Medical Aid for Palestinians says it's removed newborn babies from Khan al-Adwan Hospital, but that ambulances are being detained at military checkpoints as they attempt to reach Gaza City. The humanitarian group warned, quote, the world must act before Gaza is erased entirely, unquote. The World Health Organization also said it was prevented by Israel yesterday from carrying out the forced evacuations. Khan al-Adwan doctors warned 30 infants in the neonatal unit will die if Israel does not end its attack. And UNRWA is warning, quote, Gazans are yet again teetering on the edge of a man-made famine, unquote, as a result of Israel's latest siege on northern Gaza. Israel's attacks on journalists continue as well. On Wednesday, an airstrike on the Jabalia refugee camp killed Al-Aqsa cameraman Mohammed Al-Tanani and injured the reporter Tamer Labad. An Al Jazeera Arabic camera operator, Fadi Al-Wahidi, was also injured while covering attacks on Jabalia, shot in the neck by an Israeli quadcopter. This is his colleague, journalist Anas Al-Sharif, detailing the attack.
Suddenly, a quadcopter drone appeared above the broadcast vehicle and the place where we were, and it started firing directly at us, at the broadcast vehicle, and at the colleagues and team who were with me. My colleague Fadi was next to me, so we started running. As soon as we began to run from the location, the drone started chasing us and the entire crew, firing directly at us. A bullet hit my colleague Fadi's neck directly, and he immediately passed out and fell to the ground.
Another Al Jazeera cameraman, Ali Alata, also remains in critical condition after being shot earlier this week while reporting in Deir al-Balah. In Khan Yunis, Israel killed at least five members of the same family, three of them children, including a seven-month-old baby. This comes as a new report by the International Rescue Committee reveals over 50,000 Palestinian children in Gaza have been orphaned or separated from their parents over the past year. Israeli attacks on the occupied West Bank are also ongoing, killing at least five Palestinians Wednesday, including the leader of the group Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade in Nablus. Separately, new UN data show there was an average of four incidents of settler violence every day against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank since October 7th last year. Israel bombardment of southern Lebanon killed five paramedics Wednesday. Israel has killed at least 115 health workers in Lebanon over the past several weeks. The UN special coordinator for Lebanon called for an immediate halt to attacks to create space for a political solution.
The joint call for a 21-day ceasefire, as launched by the U.S. or led by the U.S. and France, I think is still on the table and very relevant. So we should not dismiss it. I don't think that new initiatives will add to it. I mean, the many appeals and calls for ceasefire are crystal clear. We need a window for diplomatic efforts to succeed.
Over 1 million people in Lebanon have been displaced since Israel launched its deadly campaign.
I have been here from the south for 8 days. I sent my family 2 to 3 days before me. My wife gave birth, so I came here for my family. I will go back south again. We will not leave our land. It is an expensive land. We're offering martyrs. We're offering blood.
Israel has also launched more strikes in Syria, targeting Homs and Hama provinces. Meanwhile, Israel is expected to launch an imminent attack on Iran after Tehran struck Israeli military bases with ballistic missiles October 1st. Iran's attacks, which targeted Israeli security sites, came amidst Israel's escalating attacks and acts of terror against Lebanon and after its assassination of the Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah. This is Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant.
Whoever attacks us will be hurt and will pay a price. Our attack will be deadly, precise, and above all, surprising. They will not understand what happened and how it happened.
On Wednesday, President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris spoke on the phone with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in their first call in nearly 2 months. A White House readout of the call highlights Biden's statement of his ironclad support for Israel. It makes no mention of ceasefire. More than 3 million customers in Florida are without power after Hurricane Milton made landfall in Sarasota County Wednesday evening as a Category 3 storm with 120-mile-an-hour winds. Multiple deaths were confirmed after tornadoes tore through a senior center in Fort Pierce. 116 tornado warnings were issued across Florida Wednesday. In St. Petersburg, the storm ripped the roof off of Tropicana Field, the home of the Tampa Bay Rays baseball team. A massive crane also collapsed in downtown St. Petersburg. Ahead of making landfall, President Biden warned Milton could be the storm of the century. Tampa's mayor called the scale of evacuation unprecedented. Milton comes just 2 weeks after Hurricane Helene battered Florida and other southeastern states, killing at least 230 people. A new analysis by the group World Weather Attribution finds the burning of fossil fuels has made highly destructive storms like Helene more than twice as likely. Florida climate activists have declared Republican Governor Ron DeSantis unfit to lead the state since his policies promote fossil fuels, reject sustainable energy options, and ignore the climate crisis. Meanwhile, officials, including Florida Republicans, are working to combat misinformation about the storms pushed by their fellow Republicans, including the recent assertion by the far-right Georgia's Congress member Marjorie Taylor Greene that the government is controlling the weather. We'll go to Florida after headlines for the latest on Hurricane Milton. A new report by the Worldwide Fund for Nature reveals wildlife populations have declined by over 70% on average over the past half century. The Living Planet report warns key habitats like the Amazon are reaching tipping points with catastrophic consequences for many species. This is Dr. Robin Freeman from the Zoological Society of London, which produces the Living Planet Index.
This year's 11 Planet Report is the most comprehensive data set we've collected to date. We've got almost 35,000 populations of 5,400 species, and using that data set, we've estimated that populations have declined by an average of 73% since 1972. The combination of climate change, habitat loss, and biodiversity loss are things that we need to get on top of because they're a mixed up problem that needs to be dealt with together.
The report comes just 10 days before the next major UN biodiversity conference, dubbed COP16, is set to begin in Cali, Colombia. A new report from Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse confirms then-President Trump significantly curtailed the FBI's 2018 investigation into Brett Kavanaugh as his confirmation to become a Supreme Court justice hung in the balance. After Christine Blasey Ford testified that Kavanaugh had sexually assaulted her at a party when they were high school students, Trump approved a one-week-long FBI investigation into the allegations amidst a public uproar over Kavanaugh's nomination. But despite claims by Trump the FBI had free rein in their probe, his staff ordered the FBI to only interview 10 witnesses and not to pursue the many tips or offers of corroborating evidence the agency received. Lawyers for Blasey Ford said the report confirmed the 2018 investigation was a, quote, sham effort directed by the Trump White House to silence brave victims, unquote. Talks between Boeing and some 33,000 striking workers in the Pacific Northwest have collapsed, with Boeing rescinding a 30% pay increase offer earlier this week. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, which launched the strike nearly a month ago, is seeking a 40% pay raise and improved retirement benefits. This comes as the Federal Aviation Administration this week issued a safety warning to airlines related to the rudders of some Boeing 737 airplanes. Meanwhile, the New York Times is reporting Boeing declined to request by Ethiopia Airlines chief pilot to provide guidance on how to handle problems with the 737 MAX flight control system in the wake of 2018's Lion Air crash in Indonesia. 3 months after the denied request, an Ethiopia Airlines crash from the same flawed flight control system, killing all 157 people on board. This year's Nobel Prize for Literature has been awarded to the South Korean author Han Kang, quote, for her intense poetic prose that confronts historical traumas and exposes the fragility of human life, unquote. Han Kang, author of The Vegetarian and The White Book, is the first South Korean author and just the 18th woman to win the prestigious award since it was inaugurated in 1901. And in a blow to the student Palestinian solidarity movement, Brown University voted against divesting from 10 companies that are complicit in Israel's occupation of and war on Palestinian territories. In a social media post condemning the news, the Brown Divest Coalition warned, quote, all settler colonial institutions will fail, unquote. Students across the country are marking a week of rage with die-ins, walkouts, and other actions to protest 1 year of genocide in Gaza and Israel's escalating war on Lebanon. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. More than 3 million people in Florida are without power after Hurricane Milton made landfall in Sarasota County Wednesday as a Category 3 storm with 120-mile-an-hour winds. The storm came just 2 weeks after Hurricane Helene battered Florida and other southeastern states, killing at least 230 people, making it one of the deadliest storms in the last decades. Officials in Florida have just begun assessing the damage caused by Hurricane Milton, from wind damage to flash flooding. Multiple deaths were confirmed after tornadoes tore through a senior center in Fort Pierce. Overall, 116 tornado warnings were issued across Florida Wednesday. In St. Petersburg, the storm ripped off the roof of Tropicana Field, the home of the Tampa Bay Rays baseball team. A massive crane also collapsed in downtown St. Petersburg, where more than 9 inches of rain fell in just 3 hours. CNN described it as a 1-in-1,000-year rainstorm. Earlier this morning, Tampa Mayor Jane Castor urged residents to stay inside.
What we are asking you now is please, please stay inside. Stay inside until we can get out there with our teams. They are all in action right now. We can get out there, assess the damage, and make sure that it's safe for you to go back out into your community or to re-enter your neighborhood.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, we begin today's show in St. Petersburg, where we're joined on the phone by Florida State Representative Michelle Rayner, who's among the millions who lost power in the storm. State Representative Rayner, welcome back to Democracy Now! I'm sorry it's under these circumstances. I know you've moved from one place to another. St. Petersburg has experienced a 1 in 1,000 year rainstorm. Can you describe, as the sun comes up, what you see and the devastation, and then link it to the kind of help that is being offered and what the governor is saying of Florida, DeSantis?
Thank you so much, Amy. And it is, I'm glad to be back. Definitely not under these circumstances. And can y'all hear me okay, by the way?
We hear you perfectly. And I should explain to our listeners and viewers that usually we have you on screen, but because you've lost electricity, we just have you on the phone. Go ahead.
Correct. So, yeah, we have no power. There's no internet right now. There's also no ability to use water. So the water has been shut down here. I evacuated my home, which is in evacuation zone B over by a lake in St. Petersburg. I came more inland into St. Petersburg, but I'm still here. I walked out of my best friend's home, and trees and limbs are down here. The reports that I've been getting from county and city officials, you know, as you mentioned in the intro, the Tropicana Field top was blown off. Cranes have been knocked into other buildings. There has been flooding. I was born and raised in Pinellas County. I have lived here off and on my whole life. You know, I have never experienced a storm quite like this. It is disheartening. I don't even know what my own home looks like right now. So I can't even get there to see what that looks like. You know, as far as the help that the governor is proposing, you know, right now everything is up in the air. We don't know. I'm concerned because, you know, he was already ahead of the storm playing political games, not taking phone calls from Vice President Kamala Harris, making this political members of his party, spreading disinformation around FEMA. And this is just not the time. This is not the time for these type of games. This is not the time for these type of shenanigans. It's just not. We have people, we don't know what the loss of life looks like right now. We have people that were devastated by Helene that now have the double trauma of Milton, who lost everything in Helene, who now has probably have lost maybe even more. So I am hopeful that all of us will work together and put, you know, aside these games. But it is, I also know who I'm dealing with. So I'm hopeful that we would be able to do that. I mean, and the reason I say I know who I'm dealing with, last 2 weeks ago when Helene ripped into Florida, I had the idea for the state to lift the moratorium on to lift the bans on short-term rental. Because here in the state of Florida, you can only have a short-term rental for about 14 days. And I had the idea for the state to lift that and say, you know, lift the bans on the short-term rentals. I knew that I couldn't call the governor. I knew that if I tweeted it, I knew if I sent a letter about it, I knew he would immediately not even entertain it. So I had to have other people serve as intermediaries and give him this idea to, so he would think that it was his idea in order for him to do that. So I know who I'm dealing with.
And Representative Rayner, I'm wondering, the evacuation of more than 5 million people, this was the largest in Florida history. How did that go? And what about these reports that there was a price gouging at many gas stations?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I live near, you know, a major interstate that gets you out of Florida or gets you down south. And it was gridlocked. My best friend, whose house I'm staying at, her and her wife, they drove to Miami. Miami is maybe a 3.5 hour drive. It took them 6 hours to get there, right? And we have seen price gouging, not only of hotels, but Airbnbs, of gas, of all of all of these people to contact Ashley Moody's office, she's from General in Florida, contact her office, report it, take pictures of it. This is not the time people to be preying on folks' vulnerability.
I also wanted to ask you about the rumors that are going around. I should say the lies of people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, but it goes beyond her state in Georgia, who says that the government is manipulating the weather, the denial of climate change, and also that FEMA will not be providing money, and how this can be a life and death situation. It's not just misinformation, but if people believe this, how you're dealing with this in Florida, State Representative.
So right now, a lot of us are in a
We may have lost State Representative Michelle Rayner. She was just speaking to us on the phone. Yes, go ahead. Your answer, State Representative.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now. I know this is a tough situation.
So, yeah. Yeah, it is. So I give kudos to our city and county partners and state officials. You know, we are releasing videos. We are releasing information on social media. We are making sure that our constituents know that that's patently not true, that no one's coming to take your house, that if you apply for any FEMA funding, that has nothing to do with your taking your home or any of these things that that have been falsely put out there. And so it's really just us providing that information to people. I know that we're going to have teams of folks going door to door, letting people know about what is available to them in this time, not only on the city, county, and state, but also federal level. But once again, these are people that spread these lies. It is just completely not the time. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, people have already lost so much. They've already lost so much. Why would you do this in this time? Why would you do this in the time where people need help? Things cost money, people. Why would you do this?
You're breaking up State Representative Michelle Rayner, but we thank you so much for being with us, and we're going to check back with you as the sun just comes up in Florida right now, Democratic Florida State Representative. We're going to break, and when we come back, we're going to go to another hard-hit Florida city, to Orlando, to talk with a student there engaged in climate change activism. His dorm is being used as a shelter as we speak. Stay with us.
The world is changing all the time, and you know it ain't right. Yeah, I know you think twice. It takes you on a ride and leaves you with no respite. Well, I think I've done my time. But I to take me where the bluebirds sing, while we lose everything. There's too much poisoning. And fly me where the birds still fly, 'cause smoke fills up our sky.
We Tried by Louise Harris, a musician and climate activist. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Hurricane Milton comes just 2 weeks after Hurricane Helene battered Florida and other southeastern states, killing at least 230 people. A new analysis by the group World Weather Attribution finds the burning of fossil fuels has made highly destructive storms like Helene more than twice as likely. Florida climate activists have declared Republican Governor Ron DeSantis unfit to lead the state since his policies promote fossil fuels, reject sustainable energy options, and ignore or deny the climate crisis. We're joined now by two guests. In our New York studio, David Wallace Wells is with us, New York Times opinion writer, columnist for the New York Times Magazine. His recent piece is headlined Sleeping Through Hurricane Helene, author of the book The Uninhabitable Earth. But we're going first to Manuel Ivan Guerrero, an 18-year-old freshman at the University of Central Florida, UCF. He's an organizer with the Sunrise Movement, helping with hurricane rapid response, and has just called on major TV networks to hold a climate hurricane town hall with the presidential candidates Kamala Harris and Donald Trump on October 17th, the day early voting begins in the swing state of North Carolina, parts of which were just devastated by Hurricane Helene. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Let's begin in Orlando with Manuel. Describe what the situation is right there, Manuel, and where you're living, the number of people who had to evacuate, how intense the rain was, and what you're calling for.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for having me. And the situation here at UCF is honestly a lot better than the rest of the city of Orlando. There's footage and there's stuff from the off-campus housing near UCF and downtown Orlando of trees falling down and buildings that are still without power at this time, even as the hurricane left 6-7 hours ago. And in general, Orlando is in a much better position than Tampa due to not being on the coast, but it's still really, really nowhere near where it should be. And honestly, this just has me more scared for what the future is going to look like in Florida and how the landscape of Florida is going to look like 10, 15 years from now when we're having these 1,000-year storms every 3-4 years now. And we're definitely extremely concerned about the way that it's going to affect our community and the people that haven't been able to evacuate. Many, many people weren't able to evacuate either for economic reasons or because of shortages. People aren't able to evacuate from two storms back to back in this way. When you can't afford rent, you can't really afford to buy $300 of gas money and then a hotel somewhere you've never been to before. And what we're really fighting for is to make the Biden-Harris administration focus on this as a climate issue and to make it a top three priority for them in this coming election, because we need a candidate that's really fighting for climate. And that's why we're calling for this hurricane town hall, specifically in North Carolina, probably the most affected state by hurricanes at the moment, a state in cities that 10 years ago would have been unimaginable to have flooding in Asheville. And that destruction that we saw in Asheville and the destruction that now we're seeing in Tampa and in downtown Orlando are things that we really should not be seeing at the moment. Things that are completely unprecedented levels of damage. And the way that this hurricane intensified 3-4 categories in 12, 15 hours is unprecedented. And we should really, really be focused on that.
And Manuel, can you talk about the situation where Florida, which has been ravaged for decades by major hurricanes, but increasingly has become a danger zone for climate change, having a governor who's a climate crisis denier?
Honestly, with the leadership that we have in Florida right now,